Back in 2016, DeRay McKesson, a Black Lives Matter activist, was arrested in Baton Rouge, Louisiana during a demonstration. Police say he was ignoring an officer's request to get out of the road. McKesson recorded his arrest as it was happening, and a warning: what you're about to hear is a confrontation.
Look at the city police, you're under arrest.
What?
Don't fight me.
I'm under arrest, y'all.
Back up, I got something.
5 years later, McKesson is still dealing with the fallout from this arrest and that demonstration. The case has made its way up to the Supreme Court. And McKesson says his story is just another example of the differences in how people of color are treated by law enforcement. DeRay McKesson is now the co-founder of Campaign Zero, a nonprofit aimed at ending police violence. And he joins us now. Welcome to the show.
Hey, it's good to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you, DeRay. You know, before we talk about your own experience with police, what was going through your mind as you watched these mobs of people freely violating the U.S. Capitol this week?
It was sort of astonishing to think about how unprepared the police were for a planned action. It's not like people just like rolled up on the Capitol. They planned this, they announced it, and to later learn that there were only 500 officers available when there could have been 2,000 because the Capitol Police just chose not to plan for this. I've seen the police be more aggressive for 40 people than they were for the thousands of white supremacists that were on the Capitol. So it was surprising just to see how bold everybody was. The police not doing anything, the white supremacists putting their feet up on Nancy Pelosi's desk. And you know what? People walked home. I thought I'd seen it all. And then there was that.
Well, let's talk about what you've seen in comparison to what we saw on Wednesday. You participated in many demonstrations around the country. Some interactions with police, I would guess, were good. Others, not so much. Can you describe in comparison for us how some police agencies interact with Black Lives Matter protesters, for instance?
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that was consistent across the board is that they were really aggressive and that we were armed with the truth. And that was it. We didn't have weapons. We weren't shooting people. We weren't breaking things. Like, that wasn't the spirit of the protest. Yet, you know, we were maced and tear gassed and pepper sprayed and shot at. I have friends who lost their eyes. I have friends who got shot with bullets. And all we were doing was saying the police shouldn't kill people. These people were pushing the police, like literally physically pushing the police. You know, the officer who died eventually because he got hit while he was there. Like, those things are just so much more intense than anything that ever happened at a protest that Black people led.
Yeah. I mean, 2 days later, I think we're still very shocked and processing what we saw. You know, I mentioned your arrest in 2016. One of the Baton Rouge officers sued you. He was seriously injured by someone else during the demonstration, but he held you responsible because you organized the event. What do you want people to know in the context of what happened Wednesday, where people who violated the law were escorted out of the U.S. Capitol building by police instead of arresting them?
What was really shocking about my case to me, and having lived through it for 5 years, and we did win at the Supreme Court, but we're now at the Louisiana Supreme Court for another issue about the case, is that at no point in the 5 years was there ever a question about the facts. That the mere allegation from the police officer was enough to entangle me in litigation for 5 years, and I didn't do it. With white people, the living proof, like watching them do it in real time, still is not enough for there to be a consequence. If I hadn't seen it happen like everybody else did, I probably would think people were exaggerating. I'm like, no, somebody couldn't have broken into Nancy Pelosi's office and nothing. Like, it's so just out of the context that we think of.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you've been working for several years at police reform, and here is this mission statement from your organization, Campaign Zero. It reads, "We can live in a world where the police don't kill people by limiting police interventions, improving community interactions, and ensuring accountability." Do you see what happened Wednesday as an inflection point in getting to this aspirational world that you envision, where we can see the disparity in the way that people are treated?
I mean, you know, there have been enough things to happen where nothing has changed that I never get my hopes up high. I'm also reminded that, like, seeing is believing to a certain extent, but, like, we got to organize after this because, you know, just like the protests this summer, people are like, okay, I get it. They don't know what to do next. So then the question becomes, what do you do? How do you challenge the power of the police? How do you change a system so that it isn't as bad as it was before? And I think that's where organizers come in. We're working on a lot of stuff now. You know, the police kill 1,100 people a year. The police actually kill more people in 2020 than 2019. So for all of the good work of the protests, you know, the police were pretty unchanged last year. Like, it wasn't like there was a dip in their killings at all. So I think the next step is always, like, how do you change structures and systems? The good news is that the legislature is just open. There'll be a lot of legislation around the police being introduced. And this is our moment.
DeRay McKesson is an author, activist, and co-founder of Campaign Zero, a nonprofit aimed at ending police violence. DeRay, thank you so much.
Good to be here.